This is a letter from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and His Spirit made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed Him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Peace be with all of you who are in Christ.
Good morning. I am so glad that you're here today because we get to continue in this series on the book of 1 Peter. Now, Kevin did a great job last week kind of setting us up, talking a little bit about the context of the book of 1 Peter. And so the thing that you need to understand is this is a letter written to a group of churches by Peter, the Apostle Peter, the same Peter that you see that is a disciple of Jesus Christ. This is closer to the end of his life. You see a man who has been transformed by Christ, a man who has been transformed by the Holy Spirit's work in his life. The Peter that we are introduced to in the New Testament as he starts to follow Jesus Christ is a very different person than you see writing this letter, and it's all because of the work of Jesus Christ in his life and in the world. And the thing that we get to do as we walk through the entire book of 1 Peter is we get to have that same type of experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. We get to experience that same type of transformative work through the work of the Holy Spirit because of the truth of God's Word. And so what we're doing is we are reading through, not today, but through this entire series, the whole book of 1 Peter. Kevin took the first section last week, and so what we're looking at this week is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 25. So if you've got your Bibles, let's go ahead and open those to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 25. Let me encourage you to follow along there. Let me also encourage you to use that listening guide that's available on the app or through the website. You can click on that. You can also click on that digital connect card at the top of that listening guide and fill that out. And that's a great way for us to connect with you and you can to connect with us this morning, whether you're here or whether you're watching online. So let's read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 25, and then let's dive into the message that the Lord has for us today in His Word. Peter writes this to the church: "So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the Scriptures say, 'You must be holy because I am holy.' And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of Him during your time here as temporary residents. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose Him as your ransom long before the world began, but now in these last days He has been revealed for your sake. Through Christ you have come to trust in God, and you've placed your faith and hope in God because He raised Christ from the dead and gave Him great glory. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth, so now you must show sincere love for each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. For you have been born again, not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living Word of God. As the Scriptures say, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of the Lord remains forever.
And that word is the good news that was preached to you. Amen. Aren't you thankful that we have access to the Word of God? Aren't you thankful that Peter was obedient to Christ in fulfilling his call to the gospel, in leading according to how Christ had prepared him, how God had built him and wired him, and that we get to participate in that same kind of purpose and will for our life, even when we find ourselves in some of the same circumstances that the church found itself in? Now, it's a little different because the church that Peter was writing to, they were persecuted. I mean, in the real sense of the word, persecuted. We go through trials, we go through tribulations, we go through temptations, and I don't want to make light of those because we face some real things. But what we can do is in our situation, in our world, and in our life, look to God's word and base our life on that truth. And let's look at the first thing that Peter talks about. I love what he says here. So prepare your minds for action. What does that sound like to you? Prepare your minds for action. Let me tell you what that immediately communicates to me. It is God through his word saying, get ready. It is God through his word saying, we're on the move. It is God through his word saying, prepare your minds for action. And can't you see the importance? Can't you see the value in that message? Because it's true. We live in a world today that has lost its mind. Sometimes we do too, don't we? This is why we need Jesus. This is why we need God's word. So we must prepare our minds. It doesn't happen by just chance. It doesn't just magically appear in our life. You have to be intentional. You have to prepare your mind for action. And how do you do that? How do you prepare your mind for action the way that God is teaching us to in his word? Look at what he says next, because it may sound hard, but in Christ, guess what? All things are possible. Verse 15, skip down to that. But now you must be holy in everything you do. How does that sound to you? You must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. Prepare your minds for action. Yes, be holy as I am holy. Thus saith the Lord. Hang on. How do you do that? And here's what I want us to see today. There is nothing that God says in his word that is not possible for us as Christians to step into and follow Christ into. And here's what I want to just say immediately. On our own, that's impossible. To be holy as God is holy. No, it's impossible. It doesn't happen. But in Christ, that looks very different. Because it's not about us anymore. It's about the holiness of Christ who has saved us. All right. So fasten your seatbelts, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. How do we answer this question? How do we answer the question of how do we prepare our minds for action? How do we be holy as God is holy? Are we holy in everything that we do? And that's the question that we have to wrestle with today. And here's the thing that I want us to see. In Christ, you can move every aspect of your life under the holiness of God. And that is a lifelong process. It's not something that you immediately know how to do as soon as you are saved, but it is something that you learn how to do as you are sanctified, as you grow in Christ, as you follow Christ through this life. You can see the different aspects of your life that are broken, and you can move those things under the holiness of God. And Peter gives us some practical ways to do that. What is the first thing he says? Let's go back to verse 13. Look at the very first part of verse 13. So how is it that you move every aspect of your life under the holiness of God? He says this, so prepare your minds for what? Action, and exercise self-control.
Sounds like another easy step, right? I mean, because what does self-control look like when we typically step into that? What is the kind of the typical way that we exercise self-control? Do you ever put those two things together, exercise and self-control? As a matter of fact, what's the first thing that you think about when you think about, I really should have more self-control in my life? Well, I should probably exercise more, right? I mean, sometimes we think like that. And there's a worldly way that we approach, there's a natural way that we approach these things. And what typically happens when we approach a situation in life and we say, I need more willpower in this? We're good, typically. All right, I'm not going to talk about you, I'll just talk about me. I'm good, typically, for a while. Because it really depends on circumstances in my life, right? How about you? Same thing? You know, I mean, it depends on how much energy I have, how much sleep I'm getting, how I'm eating, how I feel about the world around me, how I feel about the circumstances around me. And if all of that lines up well enough, then I'm able to kind of have this willpower to walk through something. But eventually, once those circumstances change, what happens? You kind of let go of it. And here's what I need for us to understand this morning. When it comes to exercising self-control, there is a biblical picture that is completely different. The biblical picture of self-control is less about us increasing our willpower and more of us being aware of the powerful will of God. Because we're not strong enough. We're not good enough. We can be have it all together in one area of our life, and unbeknownst to anybody else around us, even those closest to us, another area of our life is absolutely falling apart. But when we submit ourselves to the will of God Himself, the powerful will of God Himself, this is where we begin to be able to exercise self-control. And the biblical picture of self-control is not about building the self up. It's about putting the self to the side and saying, I'm going to be about the purposes of Christ in my life. And you can intentionally do that. You can talk to God and you can say, thank you for giving me the mind of Christ in Him. Thank you for owning my mind. God, I need you to help me control my thoughts. I need you to help me focus on that which you want me to focus on. Help me to put myself aside in what I want to think about and help me think on the things of you. You can thank God and say, thank you that because of Christ, my heart is yours. You can talk to God and you could say, thank you that my soul is yours. Thank you that my body is yours. Thank you that my marriage is yours, that my family is yours. And you can go to the Lord humbly and you can bow before Him in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and you can talk to God and you can be intentional about being grateful for those things. But do you know it doesn't stop there? Because you can turn right around and in the boldness of standing before the throne of God, you can talk to the other power that's at work in this world. There's two powers at work in this world, God and Satan. And you can turn to Satan and you can say, you don't own me anymore. Because of Jesus Christ, you don't own my mind. You used to have it. It used to focus on the things of this world. It used to focus on nothing but sin, because that's the only thing I knew. But my mind is being renewed by Christ. You don't own my heart anymore. It was once dead in sin. It was once black. It didn't beat one time spiritually. But because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because of His death on the cross, because of His life, my heart is not yours anymore. It is washed in the blood of the Lamb, white as snow. You don't own my soul anymore. Yes, once I was headed to hell itself, once I was drenched in sin, that is all I knew. But now God owns my soul. You do not anymore. You don't own my marriage anymore. It is based on the covenant of Jesus Christ Himself. And it was confirmed before God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I can stand strong. You don't own my marriage anymore. I will follow Christ. I will not follow you anymore. You can't have my kids. Amen. I will stand on the cross. I will stand at the foot of the cross for them, and I will pray boldly because God tells me in His Word that I can, and I will not let you have them as long as there is breath in my life. I am not owned by you. My life is not in you. My family is not in you, and I will follow Christ. That is life in Christ. That is the power of God's Word. That is the truth that you can stand in, and that is the choice that you can make every single day. It sounds a little something like this. Read with me Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. Because how do you exercise self-control? Well, you put the self to the side and you put Jesus at the center of your life. You put God's will at the center of your life. You understand that you do face an opposer. But then you hear the words of God Himself. Because this is what God said to His people, and this is what God is saying to His people today. Be intentional about life. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting in verse 15. Now listen, this is God Himself saying this to His people. What's He saying? Now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death. What is sin? It's death. What is life? It's Christ. That's the biblical picture. Today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep His commandments, His commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in His ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. But if your hearts turn away and you refuse to listen, if you're drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land you're crossing in the Jordan to occupy. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessing and curses. Now I call on heaven. This is God Himself saying this. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying Him, and committing yourself firmly to Him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you see? Intentionality is written into God's Word. And in the freedom that we have in Christ, we should know that we're free within biblical boundaries to choose to follow Him every single day. And when we look past that which comes natural to us and we step into exercising biblical self-control, you'll see a little bit of what it looks like to be holy in everything you do. Because every step you take in Christ is a step into holiness. But not only that, but look at, turn back with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's look at the second part of 13. That was only half a verse, ladies and gentlemen. Fasten your seatbelts. I told you, here we go. Look at the second part of 1 Peter 1, 13. We'll start back at the beginning. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Look at what he says next. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Put your hope in Christ. You see how this just kind of naturally begins to unfold as Peter, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes this letter? Prepare your minds for action. Practice self-control and put your hope in Christ. Now, just like everything else, there's a natural way to approach hope. There's a way that we're kind of wired to think about hope. And then there's a biblical picture of what hope is. And a lot of times there's a big gap between those two things. Hope, as we kind of naturally think about it, is defined as the anticipation of something desired actually happening. Have you ever said, I hope this happens? So it's this anticipation that something that I want in my life, for my life, in the life of somebody else is actually going to happen. But you know that hope doesn't just exist alone. It actually, hope and fear is the opposite of hope. They kind of work hand in hand as we walk through this life, right? So if hope is the anticipation of something desired actually happening in this life or in a certain amount of time, what is fear? It's the exact opposite. You just change one word a little bit and you understand what it is. It's the anticipation of something undesired actually happening. Have you ever said, I'm afraid this is going to happen? And a lot of times that's the life we live because that line is a fluid line, isn't it? That line between hope and fear. I hope this happens, but I'm afraid this is going to happen. And depending on circumstances in our life, depending on circumstances in our world, in the environment in which we live, that line moves, right? And we try to think about all kinds of different ways to reduce the tension of fear in our life. And there's all kinds of things that we do to increase the hope in our life. I hope this happens and decrease the fear that we experience in our life. I'm afraid this might happen. But how good are we at controlling those circumstances of our life? You know, on a good day, you might be able to handle something like that. But have you ever had those days when life turns on a dime? Those days that bring absolute clarity that you have absolutely no control over your life whatsoever. What were you doing yesterday at 10 o'clock in the morning? 10 a.m. Think about it. What were you doing? You got it? I was with Janie and Elizabeth. We were in Louisville. This is a volleyball weekend for us. It's the one weekend that we get to go and travel and spend the night somewhere and play volleyball games. And so we went to Vine Grove, Josh's hometown, and beat him. Okay, so that's a good thing. That was a good thing. We beat North Hardin. It's kind of our arch nemesis. And so that was great. That was good. Spent the night just outside in between Vine Grove and Louisville, where we were going to be playing on Saturday. And so on Saturday morning, we got up, we got ready, did breakfast, you know, just kind of the normal thing, on our way to the varsity game. And we had some time. We had like an hour and a half before we were supposed to be there. And so we just kind of thought, hey, we need to buy some clothes. Elizabeth needs some clothes. And so there's an Old Navy up here. Let's just stop by the Old Navy and go in. Normal thing, right? Went to the Jefferson Mall right there off of the exit. You may have been there before. We went in. Went into Old Navy, and we'd been in there about 5 minutes. Janie and Elizabeth were on the ladies' side, and I was on the dude's side, you know, because I always feel weird walking around on that side anyway, you know. And so I was about 10 feet away from the store manager when I heard the store manager look back through those doors on the side and yell this, "Close the door!" And I was like, "What's up?" She goes back through the doors, and she comes back, and I was the first one standing there, and she said, "Sir, we all need to come back." And then the words you never want to hear came out of her mouth. "We have an active shooter in the mall." All right, I need a second. Now, have you ever had life turn on a dime? Have you ever realized you're not in control of your life? Have you ever realized that we live in a world that has lost its mind? You wonder why I'm preaching with a little more fire this morning? Life becomes real at that point. So as we and the other seven customers that were in the store at the time and all the employees went into the back of the store, not having any idea what was going on, other than the fact that we're in this situation now, everything starts to change. You want to talk about your mind? I could feel my brain switch. I could feel it go into this mode where I went from being this kind of extroverted, intuitive, deeply feeling, perceptive dude to where I was all of a sudden introverted. I was tactical. I saw everything around me as what's a weapon and what's not a weapon. What can we do? How do we need to protect each other? I mean, it was just immediate. All over a pair of tennis shoes. The new Jordans came out yesterday. And there were a line of people in the mall waiting on the new Jordans, and some guys got in a fight, and one of them pulled out a gun and started shooting people. So, we waited there an hour and a half till the SWAT team could go through the entire mall, clear every single store, and then finally make their way to Old Navy, back into the back, and we had five guys in full tactical gear show up and escort us
out through the parking lot to our cars. You know those videos that you see of people being taken out of buildings, you know, under heavy armed guard? That was us yesterday. Okay, now, here's the deal. When you go through situations like that in your life, fear can take over. And the Lord took care of us in that situation yesterday. But what do you do after you go through a situation like that? What do you do after you've been through a traumatic situation in your life? Fear takes on this new kind of role in your life. How does it affect you afterwards? I'm telling you, outside of Christ, it will rule your life. But because of Christ, you can begin to immediately see God at work. You can begin to immediately see that there are godly purposes in every tragedy in this life. Not that he caused it, not that he's necessarily the one behind the trigger, but he is in it and he is bringing beauty from ashes. So in Christ, what happens with hope and fear? What's that paradigm, that paradigm shift that we experience? And there's something great. There's something biblical. There's something deep that's going on. And hope and fear, they have this other dynamic. They begin to play out differently in our life. Because hope is not just based on me anticipating something that I want to happen. Hope is an anchor. Did you know that that's the biblical definition of the word hope? It is an anchor that we have in Christ. Have you ever sung the song that has the lyric that says, "My anchor holds within what? The veil." That is talking about the veil of the temple, the holy of holies. And Christ is our high priest. And our anchor holds in him no matter the circumstances of this life. And that transforms our fear into something else. We don't fear the world. We don't fear circumstance. We fear God through reverent awe, and we understand that he is the one that is in control. And so hope goes from this kind of anticipation to a belief that what God says is true. And it, instead of going hand in hand with fear, it begins to go hand in hand with faith. I have faith in Jesus Christ that eventually I will be with him, and for the rest of eternity, no matter what happens here, I am saved and I am with Christ, and I want those that are around me to experience the same thing. So hope and fear, instead of being this fluid concept that goes throughout life, which eventually, I'll just be honest, fear takes over, becomes hope in Jesus, becomes fear of the Lord, which develops into faith in Christ. And that is our rock solid foundation that we stand on. So Peter tells us, prepare your mind for action. Be holy in everything you do. Listen, sitting right there for an hour and a half in that old Navy yesterday, we were no further outside of the holiness of God and the presence of his Holy Spirit than we are sitting right here in the middle of church this morning. God was there, God was present, and he was at work. And I believe it. That's hope. Now I'm going to have to deal with that fear a little bit. I'm not walking in an old Navy without thinking about, how do I turn these clothes hangers into spears? But you know who's walking with me through that? Jesus. Ooh, and I'm so thankful. Third thing that Peter says is this. Practice self-control. Put your hope in Christ. And then let's read verse 14 together. So you must live as God's obedient children. So you must live as God's obedient children. How is it that you move every aspect of your life under the holiness of God? Well, it's making those intentional choices to place your life under Christ. And I don't mean just macro. I mean micro as well, the little things that we go through each day. It means moving the hope that you have in this life under the holiness of Christ himself. And then it means living as obedient children. If you keep reading verse 14, it says, don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. What does it mean to live as obedient children? You know, Jesus talks about this in a way I think that makes it very clear for us. There's two aspects to living as obedient children as we follow Christ. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10, the book of Luke chapter 10. And let's look at this exchange between Christ and a man that he is talking about.
Now, this is probably very familiar to you. It's talking about the most important commandment. I'm going to start in verse 25. One day, an expert of religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question: "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Now, you see this in other places in the gospel where Jesus teaches this to a religious leader that's asking the question, what is the most important commandment? But in Luke, it's interesting because everywhere else you see love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and strength. But Luke adds one more word. Well, Luke doesn't. This man added one more word that Luke recorded: and mind. Remember what Peter says? You know, Peter is here. He's watching this. He's experiencing this. Prepare your what for action? Prepare your mind for action. And this is how you have the mind of Christ. You love the Lord your God with what? With all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and all of your mind. And the way that we love God is through Christ, by being in relationship with Him. Have you followed Christ? Are you in relationship with Him? Have you stepped into that call that Jesus has on your life where He says, come follow me? And then we move every aspect, our heart, our mind, our strength, our soul, all of that, we move it under the holiness of Christ as we go throughout each day in an intentional way. But look at what He says here at the end, because it lines up. There's a second part to this of Luke 10:27 that absolutely lines up with what Peter says in verse 22. What is it that he says? You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And we love that because I'm like, I can do that. See, that's that individualistic kind of interpretation of Scripture. And we're like, okay, me and Jesus and God, I don't need anybody else, right? God is my judge, not anybody else. Okay, hang on. That is true, but that's not complete. And love your neighbor as yourself. So if yourself is supposed to love God like that, then that's how you should love your neighbor as well. Flip back with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. And look at what he says. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must what? Show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, the New Testament is full of this language. Love the Lord your God and love others as yourself. James, how can you say that you hate your brother and love God? Paul himself says, love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, this is a picture that we see over and over again, and I think this is what's being communicated. The love that you have for God, the best measure of the love that you have for God, is how you love your neighbor. Because we may say and think one thing, but we're really good at living a life of smoke and mirrors, aren't we? Because when it comes down to how we actually live and who we actually are in Christ and how we show the love of Christ in this world, what's our purpose as Christians? Yes, it is to be saved. Yes, it is to be forgiven. Yes, it is to grow in holiness. But we are not just saved from our sin. We're saved what? For a purpose, and that purpose is to be a light to a world that is lost and dying. And how do you do that? You love your neighbor as yourself. So what is Peter teaching us? Be holy in everything. Move everything under the holiness of God. This is not something that is just this, this ethereal biblical concept that was never intended for us to step into it because we think we can't be perfect in that. I think it is something that we are perfected in as we live in Christ and we follow Him. And we do so by preparing our minds for action. Don't just walk through this life on cruise control. Be intentional. Exercise the kind of self-control that says to God, I must become less and He must become what? More. We prepare our minds for action. We practice self-control. We put our hope in Christ, not just one time to be saved, but every single day so that we can live out our salvation and we live as obedient children who are family. I love the Lord, my God, my heavenly Father, and I also love my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I see everybody else in this world through the lens of who Jesus is and how he sees them. That's what God's Word teaches us today. That's the challenge that we have to live out. Our final thought is this: prepare your mind for action, because God wants to do something in and through you to glorify Jesus and reach a lost and dying world. How do you want to respond to God's Word today? What are the steps that you are going to take? How are you going to change because of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? Is it a decision that you need to make? Are you saved? Have you ever followed Christ? Do you want to do that today? We would love to be able to walk with you through that. Do you want to be obedient and follow Christ in baptism? Maybe you've never done that before. We want to walk with you through that, just like the video that you saw today. It's so encouraging. It's so good to see believers following Christ in obedience. Do you want to decide today, I'm going to have the mind of Christ and prepare my mind for action? If you want anybody to walk with you through that, let me encourage you to text 94090. Text the word NWF Connect to that number, and we'll be in touch with you, and we will gladly walk with you through those decisions. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank you for how good you are to us. We've sung about it today. God, you are so good. We thank you that death was arrested. We thank you that you are our only King forever. And God, we thank you that you've given us your word today and the Holy Spirit to interpret, enliven, and show us how to walk in this life because of the truth that you've given us. Help us to do that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.